This is a podcast from Love Sport Radio.
On this podcast, we don't shy away from getting down and dirty when it comes to talking life, lust and love. So throughout this episode, there will be strong language and adult themes.
You're listening to Wham Bam, It's Dr. Pam. Up close and very personal.
If you want real, usable advice, unlike some advice shows where you can possibly do whatever they recommend, and you want strong views, then thanks for joining me for Wham Bam, It's Dr. Pam. In this show, I get up close and very personal with the multi-talented actor and singer Anthony Costa. Anthony gets heartfelt when talking about his bankruptcy, but there's also lots of giggles when he talks about his sex life and more. Plus, thinking of sex? Have you ever wondered why, if nature wants us to procreate, to have babies, that over 70% of women rarely or never orgasm? Wouldn't nature want us to have great climaxes so we had more sex, meaning more babies? Well, I'm going to be joined by evolutionary biologist Randy Thornhill to find out why the climax is so elusive for so many women. But I also talked to Melanie and Scott McClure, a couple who've got so much chemistry, they claim they can orgasm through hugging. Yes, hugging. Before these wonderful guests, though, I answer Mel's email about why she can only climax in a very specific way. So listen to this. She says, "Hi, Dr. Pam. I love my man to bits, but I have to fake orgasms 90% of the time. If he doesn't hit the exact spot, I don't get properly excited. Is there something wrong with me? I never talk about this with girlfriends because they all seem to have great sex lives. I don't know if this is my lot or if there's a way to improve things. Please help. Thanks." From Mel. "I'm 39 and it's always been like this," she says. So, let me reassure you, Melanie, or Mel, as you said, it's not anything abnormal because the statistics are really quite scary. 70% of women do not orgasm very regularly or at all. 70%. It's only 30% who quite regularly orgasm. And you know what? Another survey found that 60% of women should get an Oscar award because they fake it so well, their partner hasn't a clue. So let me give you some tips, my great orgasm guide. And guys, you need to know this as much as the women who are listening tonight. First off, you got to check your mindset, because if your inner voice is saying to you, "I'm not going to climax, I'm not going to climax, he's not going to do it right tonight," it's not going to happen. You have to talk yourself up, go into sex with an open mindset that says, "Hey, maybe it's going to happen. I'm going to relax. This is going to be good." Be positive about it. But also, self-discovery is key. Now, the guys are fantastic at masturbating, but we women get a little bit more sensitive and a bit prissy about it. But the way you learn about your body is by touching and caressing yourself. Lie back in a bath when you're on your own or in your bed and touch yourself from top to bottom. Find out what gives you pleasure. And you can use your hand or you can use a vibrator. And when you realize the sensations that bring you to climax, what really works on your clitoris and your vagina, you can then go on to share that with your partner. And I've got a little peach here. It's going to be sex with fruit tonight. Yes, so the peach I've got upright, and we'll pretend this is going to be like her clitoral zone at the top and then the labia running down. And all he has to do is with his fingertips, of course, he can slide back and forth and around once you get to the clitoris. Of course, he's explored your body. But don't forget, guys, not right on top of it and not hard and pokey. She likes something smooth and soft and circling. So it really teases her and pleases her. And you can do the same with your penis, the end of your penis. You can use it to gradually go up and down her lips and make her feel really good. And that way she'll be more ready for full-on sex and she'll be sharing with you what she learned during masturbation. And don't forget that, you know, if you see it, having a climax as a goal, like you're going to score a goal for a man or a woman, it's not a good thing. What you have to do is keep your mind open and focus on the sensations as you are enjoying foreplay with each other. And remember, a little bit of romance goes a very long way. So guys, get romantic. Definitely make sure she's not stressed, because if she's having difficulty with climaxes, then of course it can stress you out too. And it's really important that you do these things together as a team, if you're in a partnership, if you're part of a couple, that you share the fact that you don't want a fake orgasm anymore, that you really want to be real about it, and you want to make sure that your partner knows all about what works for you. So let's say that when you've masturbated, you've discovered the kind of pleasure you need is a gentle rocking action. Well, then try the cat position, as it's called, C-A-T, and that's for coital alignment technique, or some people call it the clitoral alignment technique. So if you imagine missionary style, but it's reverse missionary. So he's lying on his back and she's on top, and like it's missionary style, but she's on top, and she shimmies a little bit up his body so that her clitoral zone rubs against his pubic bone. And that way she gets the right clitoral stimulation when he's inside her. And that can work so well, where women find that if they're on top in that position, that they can get that right stimulation for their clitoris. And if he's patient, you're patient with her, then it can really make you feel so good. And she can take control and she can get herself to a climax.
Wham bam, it's Dr. Pam, up close and very personal.
It's time to get up close and very personal with my guest, who hardly needs an introduction, particularly if you know your boy bands. Now he's making a huge success with acting, and he's starring in the UK tour of Rock of Ages musical. On Twitter, he's at Anthony Costa. But let's remind ourselves of his boy band days with my favourite blue tune ever. That was All Rise, and we should all rise, or at least just raise a glass to the lovely Anthony Costa, who joins me. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, how are you, Pam? You all right?
I'm so well. All the better to speak to you. You know, we cross paths occasionally.
And it's do, my love.
And it's always great to catch up with you. So it is a great musical, because I saw it in the West End maybe, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, and I absolutely loved it. So you must be excited.
Yeah. Very risque.
Yeah, and the character you're playing, you know, JC.
Yeah.
Now, he's called Unreliable. So what's it like kind of getting into that character to play him?
Well, I don't need much acting. No, I'm very reliable, actually. But no, he's an old age rocker. He thinks he's God's gift, which is completely not like me at all, for the people that know me. And it's great to be able to get into a character that is just so far beyond ridiculous. It's just brilliant, and you just get away with everything on that stage. It's fantastic, and I can't wait to put my own stamp on that part.
Oh, I just love that, the way you can get lost in such a different personality. And you know, the thing is, I know when a lot of, in my line of work, I hear from a lot of women who say, you know, and particularly young women who say the young guys in their life are unreliable. So once upon a time, would you have been that way, or never?
Probably. Probably. I mean, I was, you know, 17, 18 when I got into the band. So I was, you know, really blurry eyed with life. You know, I literally come out of school, done my apprenticeship in singing and stuff, and working around, you know, clubs and pubs and learning my trade. And then you just get catapulted into a great boy band to be a part of. And then it just went on from there. And then you just realised that you do become quite blasé about stuff and very unreliable. Not with work, it was more with friends and family and stuff. You sort of realise that they are the most important people in your life, and you take that for granted when you're on tour and stuff.
I'm sure that happens all the time, and particularly when you're younger. And you know, and absolutely, when you're younger, before you were attached, maybe, I suppose there are a lot of women who felt, you know, oh, I want a bit more of Anthony Costa, but they
not
couldn't
me.
Have you.
No. They should have got the Specsavers, Dr.
Oh, no, that's not true.
No, I was just me, you know, just a lad just enjoying life and living life to the full and having a good time. And it's not very often you speak to people my age, that, you know, mid to late 30s now, that say they enjoy their job. You know, people just do a job just for the sake of earning a living, which is understandable and fine. And you have to accept that. But, you know, I've been in this game nearly 20 years and every day is different. Every day's a great challenge for me. And I love doing my job. I absolutely love it.
And I know that, and that's kind of like in my job, I must say, because I hear about different people's experiences and problems, every day is different because every person, even if, let's say, you know, someone's been cheated on, every cheating dynamic is a different dynamic. So one person has this experience, another person has that experience. So every day is different. And I suppose I can hear it that you really appreciate that part of your life. But the fact is, of course, you're on tour. And you have a partner and young family.
Yeah.
So how do you, when you're going to go on tour, you know, you're doing the rehearsals now, but how do you stay connected with them?
Do you know what? It's due to the vast technology. There's FaceTime now, whereas 10, 11 years ago, obviously, before having family and stuff, there was nothing like that. And now it's so, you know, I can go on tour. I could be on the other side of the world, FaceTime my family, and as if I'm, and it would be like as if I'm there in the same room. So, yes, of course I miss my family. I think it goes without saying. But the technology now, is, as I said, is so vast, and so brilliant. It doesn't feel like I'm away as much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense.
Of course it's hard. Of course it's hard. You know, there's days where I won't be able to speak to my family because I have to have voice rest.
Absolutely.
It's a big old thing. Dr. Pam, it's a, you know, it, and you know, singing is my, you know, puts bread on the table.
Yeah, so
I have to look after it.
I know, and I suppose you've been with your partner long enough that she understands that. But I often hear from people where the partner works away from home, and in these times, let's face it, people have to. A lot of people have to travel. You know, a lot of people are having a tough time economically, and they have to do this. And when they're flung into, say, taking work away from their home. It's a really hard thing to get to terms with.
Yeah.
Whereas you've had time with your partner that's kind of bedded in. And I guess maybe she met you when you were already in the kind of touring lifestyle.
Yeah, doing it. Yeah.
So for you guys, it's always been like that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I've been with my partner 7 years now. So she's sort of come post-Blue in terms of, you know, just after our big reunion stuff.
Yeah.
So it wasn't in the manic days where I was... you know, never home, because it just wouldn't have worked. You can say to your manager, look, I don't really want to do that show, you know, or I don't really want to work that weekend because I want to spend time with the family, and that's understandable. But if I don't work, then there's no future. I work for the future. I work to put bread on the table. I work because I want eventually a nice house to live in. You know, not having to worry all the time, but I have to because I'm always worrying. Like now, I finished Rock of Ages in June, and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do after June, because from June till October, for instance, nothing's really in the diary apart from a few gigs with the boys.
Oh, a few gigs with the boys. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to come.
In my head, I have to work 5-6 months in advance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm constantly, you know, auditioning. I'm constantly meeting different cast directors or different producers just to say, look, hey, I'm, you know, if you want me, I'm here. If there's something for me, then let's go, let's do something.
Yeah,
I have to keep working. I can't sit at home and twiddle my thumbs. I can't. I've just never been like that.
And interesting, you know, that your partner met you, and that's the sort of man you are. And you can imagine, though, if someone, say, has, you know, been a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-6 and then loses their job, and suddenly they have to, say, work in another town or something, how that must put stress on a relationship. Yeah. I mean, how do you guys deal with the kind of, even though you've got FaceTime now and, you know, you can do that, how do you deal with the stresses of that, you know, like when you're going from Edinburgh to York and you're not coming back to your home? That's going to be, you know, a good couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But how do you keep that sort of romantic connection going? Do you ever surprise her, or what do you do?
Sometimes I've done the odd surprise, but then she has a go at me because she thinks that I've wasted money getting down to London. So
you can't win. Oh, my gosh.
She's like, why have you wasted your money? You know what? I'm all right. You don't need to come back. And I'm thinking, all right, well, that's way then. But then if I don't do the effort, if I don't make the effort, then I'm out of order. So, you know, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. So we've been together so long now, it's just we're both part of the furniture. Do you know what I mean? So she completely understands. I'm going away to Australia in a couple next week with the boys for 2 weeks. Australia's the other side of the world. It's not round the corner, so...
I've never been that far away. It's a very long trip, and it's so far, I'm sure, it almost feels like you're just in a different on a different planet.
Literally different planet, apparently. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Of course I am, because it's a beautiful country that I haven't been to for many years, so I'm looking forward to going back there. But I'm literally going there for work.
You're not going to be on Bondi Beach just surfing or whatever.
No,
they
I'm
do.
Not going to be. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to be doing barbies on the beach. You know what I mean? Like,
and when you say the boys, is the whole band reunited?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're still doing gigs.
Oh my god, that is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been doing gigs on and off for like, well, 7-8 years now. You know, we've done 2 albums in that time. We've released some singles. We've done, you know, some sellout tours. Yeah, life is good, but I'm always wanting more. You know.
Yeah. You also know that, as you say, when Rock of Ages finishes in the summer,
in June,
that
yeah.
you've got to, you know, you want to fill those months before, you know, your next gigs in October. Yeah. So there's
that
constant
pressure.
Yeah,
I have to.
Now, what about with the children? You've got 2 little ones, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how do they feel when daddy's gone? I guess you do you FaceTime every day? How do you manage
Yeah,
that?
Every day. Yeah. I mean, my baby, my 18-month-old, hasn't got a clue. You know,
oh, yes.
Nothing, you know, bless
too
her.
Young.
So my 4.5-year-old now really understands what I do now. And, you know, she gets upset. She doesn't like it. And, yeah, that's very heartbreaking. Of course it is. But she's got to understand that I've got to go out and graft. And, you know, I've got to go out and work. And it does get you down. Of course it does. But what can I do? I don't know nothing else. You know, I've done this job since I was 17. I wish I did have another trade, but unfortunately I don't.
Would you really like another trade? Because, you know, obviously you thrive on the stage, and as you say, getting into a totally different character is probably exhilarating. And
I don't think I've got the mindset for it, Pam. If I had another trade, I wouldn't mind it. You know, for instance, like, you know, hairdressing or something where it's mobile. But I haven't got the know-how. You know, I haven't had a boss since I was 17 years old, you know, since my first job, you know, doing telesales. So ever since then, I just don't know no different, you know.
So you did telesales?
Oh, yeah, when I left school.
Oh,
yeah,
my
16,
God,
yeah.
That's so hard.
Yeah. It's the most embarrassing thing.
Well, I've got to say, I'm always really polite when telesales people ring me. That's not carte blanche for any telesales person listening, but I know it's a tough job, so I always just politely but firmly say, oh, thanks, but, you know, take my number off your
list. Yeah, and I used to get so bored, and I used to do different impressions of people and just to pass the time, do you know what I mean? I used to... You know, there'll be American accent coming out, or a South African, or Scouser, or Mancunian. Yeah, and it's just to pass the time.
Don't mention Mancunian to me. That's my favourite sexy fantasy accent, is Mancunian. How did you know that?
I know. Yeah, I've read up on you, Dr. Pan. Don't worry about that.
Now, talking about sexiness, now, tonight I'm also delving into a lot of women have trouble climaxing, and that's a fact,
Wow.
and
okay.
a lot of men know that's a fact. So how do you, I'm not going to ask what do you do to your partner,
what?
But, you know, how do you keep a little bit of fireworks going when you are away so much? I mean, is it kind
oh,
of...
Oh, no, the fireworks are gone by for now.
Oh, for now, what, while you're touring?
Yeah, just.
There's nothing left over.
We both just laugh. Now it's like we're getting to bed, you know, about to watch a bit of TV. Baby cries. Baby gets into bed. That's just life now. We both we just laugh about things. Whereas before, you sort of take it for granted. And when the kids come along, it just, as you know, it just all changes. And, you know, one baby cries, the little one cries, and she gets into bed because she wants a cuddle from mummy. And then the other night, we just literally lying in bed. It was 12:30. Our youngest woke up and wanted to start singing Hokey Cokey. And we just literally looked at each other and was laughing our heads off because it's just like random.
That
we were
is
so
really
tired.
Random.
We were so sleep deprived and like, we just cracked up because it was just nothing else. If you did laugh, you cried.
Well, I was going to say, you got to laugh together. People, again, you know, people listening who work away from home will understand
me, laughing,
what you're saying.
And laughing's the best.
Yeah, laughing.
Laughing's better than any naughty business and all that. That's, you know, that comes with the territory. If you still have a laugh,
absolutely.
Then that's the main thing.
I think people listening thing. With young kids who maybe are not laughing about these things, who are on their knees totally, maybe can take inspiration from what you've just said. Because if you're just thinking, it's still all going to be fireworks, everything's still going to be the same, It's
No,
not. It changes.
it's
And if you can laugh
not.
about that, Anthony, I think that is such an important message you've just given. And I just wish that a lot of people would take that on board and not think, because I'm the one, of course, you know, who hears from people who are saying, oh, it's not like the same. We're going to have to break up and all this stuff. And I'm the one who helps pick up the pieces in my sort of work.
No
I
way.
really want to say, listen, just can you laugh about things still together? Can you just have those simple moments together? Because that gives you enough to hang in there, you know.
Yeah, we still laugh. Yeah, I mean, we don't, you know, we do bicker. We're just like any other couple, you know. We do bicker because there's times where.
And what's that
you
usually
know, like,
over? Is that over the kids or over you traveling? Or
it's mostly about everything. Like not. It's not like shouting and screaming arguments. It's just a little bickering. Like if I've been away and I come back and I want to go straight to the gym, she'll get the ump because I haven't been home.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I just want to go to the gym and I'll be back in a minute. It's like last night, you know, I was at home all day, obviously helping out. And
yes.
Then my mates were like, look, we're going to the gym at 6. So I was like, yeah, I'll be there. So I went to go. And, you know, my missus was like, well, do you have to go? The kids are crying. And they always seem to cry and
course.
Play up just as I'm walking out the door.
Of course.
It's just, yeah, look, they're screaming downstairs now. They're probably arguing about phone, arguing about toys. I don't know.
So what happened? Did you go to the gym last night?
Oh yeah, I went to the gym. Yeah.
So you left her with the kids.
I came back and it was fine. It was all good. She was fine. She apologized, and I put my baby to bed, and we had a good time.
Well, good. And I think
there's,
it's all about compromise. Like if you say, okay, well, I'm going to the gym now, then what can I do for you later when I get back? How can I help you?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, listen. I put my oldest to bed, which I did, and after that we had a good time. We sat and chatted, and you know, I watched the football, and she was on the phone. All
now,
good.
That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about the footy, because I know what a massive fan you are. But she's not really into it, and a lot of people listening will have arguments over that. The fact that usually he's into it and she's not. Of course, there are lots of women football fans. Before people attack me on Twitter, but it's a common dynamic that I hear about. So how do you guys deal with that? What, when you want to watch footy and there's a lot on, how does she cope?
It's just, I have to plan my day around it. If it's a Sunday, I'll make sure I do something with the kids in the morning.
Yeah.
For a couple of hours, wear them out a little bit, take them to a soft play. You know, these places are like Nightmare on Sesame Street.
Yes.
And come back and the kids are tired and I'll just chill and watch the football, and Rosanna will, like, you know,
and
take pictures, put them on Instagram.
Yeah, and that works well. But see, a lot of people don't think about that. They think, I want my footy, but I won't think about offering to help in other ways.
No, I'll always make an effort in terms of, like, what do you want to do today? Because, you know, my team are playing at 4 o'clock and I want to get back and watch the football. I don't ask for much, Dr. Pam. I don't ask. I don't go out boozing. I don't go out clubbing.
Yeah.
It's 90 minutes of, in my eyes, I just want to be a bit of peace and quiet and watch the football. That's all I want.
And your team is?
Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Same as Ricky.
I know. Our mutual friend, the lovely Ricky Norwood.
Lovely friend. Our lovely friend, Ricky.
And
he's
joining me one episode too. I'm going to get very up close and personal with him.
He's lovely. Love that boy.
And so what, kind of going back to the Rock of Ages tour, what advice would you give to someone who, you know, they're in a relationship, they're now going to have to take work that takes them away from home? What advice can you give to someone?
Me talking to a bloke or me talking to a woman, or just both?
If the woman's
going away as well,
okay.
I'll just say, listen, it's work. You've got to go where the work is, and it's, you're building for your future. You're building, you know, you're not going away for a jolly. You're going away to try and be as successful as you can, and try and graft as much, you know, and work hard. And that's what it's all about. I'm not a lazy person.
Yeah.
I love working. I thrive on it. You know, I'm constantly trying to get meetings. I'm constantly trying to meet people. You know, I wanted my own football show. And, you know, I came on Love Sport a few times and co-commentated on that. And I absolutely loved it. That's my passion. That's what I like doing.
Amazing. So what about, though, in terms of keeping their relationship, you know, kind of connected? What advice do you give?
You have to support each other. Listen, I do a job. People think, like yourself, Dr. Pam, you do a TV show. You get, if you're doing a morning show, you get there at like 5:30 in the morning, ready to go on at 7:30, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And then you're back home at 9, 10 o'clock. You've already done a 5, 6 hour day without you realizing, right?
Exactly. People have no
Right.
idea about how the
People
media
think
works.
you turn up at 10 minutes before, do the show and go home, and you've done a 1 hour day. Well, that's not the case. You know that and I know that.
Yeah.
So it's getting that message across to people in terms of what we do or what I do is not a, it's not a glorious life. It's a great life if you're successful, but you have to graft. You have to do this work. You have to get out there and put yourself out there and build for your future. I'm not building for myself. I'm building for my kids' futures.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
absolutely.
I want to invest into property eventually, and so on and so on. Because you just don't know when the money's going to dry up. You don't know when the phone stops ringing. Do you know what I'm saying? So, to the couples or people that are listening, if there's work to be done, then go and do it. You have to support each other.
Now, what about
But yeah, sorry.
with when people are going away and they've never done that before? So they lost their job that was near their home. They're maybe now off, gonna have to live away because that's where the work is. What do you have any advice for keeping their relationship sort of going? I mean, what would you say?
Daily contact. My missus is great. She doesn't bother me when I'm at work. She knows that I've got a graft. I'm the one that phones up all the time. Do you know what I mean? To make sure everything's all right at home.
But that's
Whereas
really
my other
cool that
half,
you do that, because
yeah,
I think a lot of people.
I'm a bit of a worrier. She's always like, "Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's good. How's your day? What are you doing?" Da, da, da. Oh. But then she'll turn it around like I'm having fun when I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm saying, "Well, I'm not having fun." And she's like, "No, I'm only joking." I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah.
Because what you guys do as parents and as mums is the toughest job in the world. It is the hardest
Oh,
job in the
it
world,
is
and I'm not going to
so.
dispute that.
I'm a mum, and I
Yeah.
know mine are now grown, but
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
been
yeah,
there
yeah,
and done
yeah.
that. I was a single mum for some time, and
Wow.
for like over 3 years before I met the love of my
Yeah.
life. But after my divorce, I
Wow.
was a single mum for a few years, and it's so tough. And but I love the way that you will call her, because what I get in my like emails to my website are things like, well, he's started working away, but he never contacts me. I never know, So big message to people working away, be the one to make contact so they don't feel like
Be the
they're
one to make
chasing
contact,
after you.
but don't always think the negative. This is where people go wrong in my eyes. If someone don't call you, doesn't mean they're a bad person or they're doing,
Yeah.
silly things behind that person's back. Don't think that, because the more you accuse someone, it might, the more you accuse someone, the more they're going to do it,
Yeah.
or the more they're going to be pushed away. So don't just let that person do their stuff, and when they want to call you at the end of the day, let them call you, and then you've got stuff to chat about.
No, that's
Do you know what I
great.
mean?
And what about when you chat? Do you, is it always about like the household bills that have come in, or do you try and make some of it fun chat? Because I think that's quite
Some of
important.
it's a bit of fun, but mostly household stuff, like, how the kids, what they do today, what have you done today? You had a good day, blah blah blah. What'd you do? I'm the most un Pam, Dr. Pam, I'm the most unjealous person in the world, and I think that may be my downfall in life.
Why would that be your downfall?
I don't know. I'm just so laid back. I'm so chilled. I want my other half to go out and enjoy herself and meet friends and go for coffees and teas and dinners and that. I want her to do that
That is
because
so cool.
she needs it. Do you know what I mean?
But a lot of
There's
people
days
don't
where I'm
feel
like,
that way. They think I'm away grafting. I don't want, my man or my woman, whoever they left behind, going out and enjoying themselves.
no,
No, I
I'm
think that's a
completely
great
opposite,
attitude.
because in another way, it makes me feel better that I'm away working and she's chilling, do you know what I mean? And not stressing. It puts the pressure off my back.
But, and you were saying that you get quite anxious about things. So, how do you deal with that the anxiety or that you get over things? Do you have any strategies? How do you calm yourself
No,
down? Because
I just, yeah, I'm a big worrier, Pam. I always have been, and I think it's because of when. All right, it's the day I become bankrupt 4 years ago. That was when I started
okay.
properly worrying,
Yeah,
like,
I can imagine.
about money and making sure I'm saving and da da da. And, I have to. You've got to be careful now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm such a.
yeah.
I'm really careful with my money and what I spend it on for the kids and da da da. Because I can't. I don't want to live a champagne money lifestyle with no champagne lifestyle with lemonade money.
Yeah.
I can't. You just can't have that. You have to budget, and you have to. I'm not tight by all means, but I want to try and be very careful in what we do. And Rosanna will be like, right, I've seen this so-and-so on the internet. Shall we get it? You know, for instance, I don't know, a mirror, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, how much is it? Oh, it's like 200, 300 quid. Okay, cool. But understand, if we get that, then we won't be able to get the other thing because so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's not me being tight. I have to be careful now
Well, I
of because of what's happened before.
I think the bankruptcy, my God, I mean, that is a massive, more than a
Yeah,
wake-up
mate.
call.
Yeah.
That must have been awful to go through, particularly because, of course, it was in the press.
Yeah, of course. And you know, you're just made to feel like you're the worst person on earth. You know, a lot of
Yeah.
people I know have been bankrupt, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, it's just
Yeah.
bad advice over the years, and you just got to deal with it. But you know what, Dr. Pam? I've got a family. I've got my health, touch wood's all right, and that's the main thing. I know so many people that have got so much money and so rich, but they can't have kids.
That's a
So,
horrible thing. I
do you
know
know what I
people
mean?
like
So it's
that. I mean,
like,
it's just it literally breaks my heart as
it
someone
breaks my heart.
who has been blessed with children. That kills me, and I know people have gone through that recently. And wow, yeah, you are so right to focus on
Or
those
they
things.
got so much money, and they're very ill. You know,
Yeah,
they've got an
exactly.
illness, and it's like, oh my God, you know, you've got all that. People thrive to what you have, and you can't enjoy it because A, you haven't got kids, and B, you're not very well. You know,
No.
your health is bad. So for me, it's all about my family, it's all about my health. And if my health and family are all right, then I'm okay.
Oh, that is so wonderful to hear. I mean, and you've been through a lot and you've come out knowing what counts. And such an important thing for people who've joined us tonight, for them to hear that message. And now, of course, what I didn't get out of you was hot sex tips, because I'm talking a lot about orgasms tonight, but
Oh, hello. I'm quite prudish, I'll be honest with you. I'm very like,
Okay.
you know, it's just,
So it's straightforward missionary.
yeah, just, I don't know, just like, enjoy yourself, innit?
Yeah, well, I've
Put a
got
couple of petals on the bed and Bob's your uncle,
You've got a couple of
Joan's your
what
aunt,
on
I
the
don't know.
bed? What did you say you
Bit of
have on?
petals, some
Oh,
rose petals, I don't know.
rose petals. So you're a
Or a bit of rose
romantic.
petals, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Put a
Okay.
bit of Barry White, but then you're away, aren't
And
you?
you don't put blue on?
No.
You've got to be
Not at
joking.
all.
Oh,
No, that's the
Anthony.
worst thing you could ever do, you know.
I know, I'm
Doing
teasing.
a bit of as your father and listen to All
Yes.
Rise. Nah. No.
All Rise,
You need
though,
a
is a
bit of
very,
Barry White. Yeah, All Rise, yeah, exactly.
it's a
No, you need a bit
key
of Barry White
lyric.
or a bit of Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, well, Anthony, it's been amazing talking to you
It's great. Thank you for your time.
and getting up close and very personal with you. Of course, people can find you on Twitter at Anthony Costa, and for Rock of Ages, it's rockofagesmusical.co.uk. I hope you have a fantastic time in your role.
If you have a dating disaster or an awkward issue you'd like Dr. Pam's advice on, visit drpam.co.uk. Drop her a line via the contact page. That's drpam.co.uk.
Because I hear from so many women who have difficulty reaching orgasm, and research highlights that up to 70 to 80% of women struggle most of the time to have one, it got me thinking about why our bodies are like this, making it so hard to climax. After all, wouldn't our evolutionary and biological development ensure that women enjoy sex? Well, let's talk to Professor Randy Thornhill. He's an evolutionary biologist and professor of biology at the University of New Mexico. He's also the author of The Evolutionary Biology of Human Female Sexuality. Hello, Professor Thornhill.
Hello.
I'd love your thoughts on the evolutionary biological development of the female sexual response, because it seems so complex. And despite the proliferation of available sex advice, many women still find sexual pleasure elusive. Why has nature done this to us?
The what's going on with women's sexual response is quite well established, actually, and what is the problem, so to speak, is that you have to think of women's sexual interest and arousal on a continuum from a bit of sexual interest all the way to the zenith of orgasm. And at every phase of that continuum of female sexual interest and arousal, it is fundamentally about female choice, female mate choice, and sire choice, the choice of a mate and the choice of a father for offspring. So female sexuality is designed by evolutionary pressures to be very, very selective.
Okay.
And that results in female sexual response being so conditional on circumstances of the environment in general, including the male. And that makes that conditionality of female sexuality and sexual response makes female sexual female reproductive decisions very adaptive. So females are not interested in mating with just any male. They're interested in mating with certain kinds of males, because ancestrally those kinds of choices would have resulted in the greatest likelihood of producing healthy offspring.
Yeah, that makes sense. That our biology and our the evolution of our species, that we would want to be selective and we would want to choose good mates. But how does that explain so many women, even women in happy relationships with a good partner,
yes,
still finding
right,
it very hard to climax? Why was the clitoris put in such a place?
Well, here are the data. So there are two kinds of research areas that relate to females' variation in orgasmic capacity. And one is a huge study of romantic or married couples, actually, in China, several hundred couples. And simply they asked these women about their orgasmic frequency with their husbands. And the frequency of orgasm by the women was positively correlated, and strongly so, with the status of the husband, so the social status of the husband.
Yeah.
So that's one component. That is, and that emphasizes that aspect of women's mate choice psychology. They prefer certain kinds of males. Specifically here, we're talking about not just guys off the street, but guys who have socially and economically achieved. And that is attractive to women and affects positively their sexual response, including the zenith of that orgasm capacity.
That all makes sense about, you know, a man's status and his attractiveness. And if you're happy,
yeah,
in your relationship, you're more orgasmic. It still doesn't make sense to me when you think of, say, the penis and how it's easily stimulated through penetration, through intercourse,
right,
you know, as well as other sexual techniques, of course, oral sex and stimulation by hand, you know, manual stimulation. Whereas the
right,
clitoris for the woman, which requires stimulus on the whole for her to be orgasmic, it's,
yeah,
it's a much more tricky situation during penetration for that her clitoris to get the right stimulation. And I just wonder why we were constructed in that way. Is the clitoris redundant, really, or something? Or,
well, the clitoris and you know, associated nerves and all that package down there that women have is very well situated for you know, a selective kind of sexual response.
Yes, selective. And, interesting.
Yeah. So again, back to the female preference stuff. It's not, you know, the orgasm's not going to fire with just any male. It takes a lot of psychological stimulation, clitoral stimulation, and so forth. The female is processing information about the male's attractiveness and his resource holdings, his status, and so forth. All that's going on in the female's head and interacts with how she feels clitorally and vaginally and so forth during sex, and whether she's going to have an orgasm.
Well, thank you. That's been so interesting, Professor Thornhill. And people can, are you on social media, or do you have a website?
I do have a website, but it's not very sexy. it's just a personal website.
I've got to say, your slightly Southern accent is very sexy.
Thank you very much. I'm from Alabama originally, but I've been away from there a long time, living in New Mexico and working in New Mexico.
Well, but your book, The Evolutionary Biology of a Human Female Sexuality, I trust is on available online and things like that.
It is available. That's on Oxford University Press. And that book, and that's a research monograph, but still pretty accessible. The information is pretty accessible to the general reader.
Thank you so much, Professor Randy Thornhill, for joining me. And right now you're listening to Wham Bam, It's Dr. Pam. So remember that our evolutionary biology has made a female sexual response very selective. Guys, you gotta be good to her. You've got to do a lot of experimenting. You have to have the sort of things that she wants, the quality she wants, and maybe she'll find that she can have a lovely climax with you. You're listening to Wham Bam, It's Dr. Pam.
Wham Bam, It's Dr. Pam. Up close and very personal.
Now, as I said, you know, I want to speak to people who their lives is all about pleasure and about finding out about experiences, sensuality, you know, how to really get to grips with having fun in bed so you both enjoy it. And I've already given you some tips that should move you along there. But now I'm joined by Melanie and Scott McClure from ecstatichearts.com. Now, they're a couple who've got so much chemistry, they claim to be able to orgasm from hugging. Yes, you heard that. By hugging. Hello, Scott and Melanie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you two?
Fantastic.
We're doing wonderful today.
Oh, great. Well, let's start with how you two met.
We first met at this lovely festival in Colorado in this beautiful meadow on Independence Day. And Scott was totally naked and covered in mud.
Wow.
I had my hair all braided up, and it was totally a hippie festival. And it was a very brief meeting. We were introduced by a friend, and we didn't really even have a conversation or make it very far after the brief meeting. But then we were introduced again at that same friend's wedding 2 years later.
And did Scott have...
And at that wedding, he asked me to dance.
Did he have clothes
and
on?
Nobody ever asked me to dance at a wedding. And it was totally love pretty quickly. But we started dating 2 days later.
But Melanie, did he have clothes on?
When we met at the wedding, most definitely. So we really didn't recognize each other from that first time.
Oh, wow. I love that story. And Scott, how about you? When you saw Melanie again at that wedding, were you smitten?
Well, I was enthralled. I was living in a different city at the time, and I came in the next weekend, and our first date was 24 hours. Our second date a little later was a month. Our third date, I moved in. So,
wow, it was quick. And before, you know, you discovered Tantra, Melanie, I know you said that you never experienced an orgasm.
Yeah, I didn't really know what an orgasm was. Like, I was enjoying lovemaking, don't get me wrong. And I had very dedicated partners, but I was definitely not experiencing orgasms the way I later experienced them when Scott came along.
Wow, so what happened?
Well, I don't know, but Scott made magic happen, that's for sure.
It wasn't so much me, it was just using Tantra to move energy through our bodies. And when the energy awakens, you start feeling things at a deeper level, then everything becomes richer and more juicy. And then she was able to tap into her natural sexual power. And so it kind of awakens you.
Wow. But how do you move that energy through your bodies, as Scott has just said? What do you do?
There's a lot of techniques that they involve breath, sound, movement, touch, mindfulness, and sexual energy. It's a combination of those things and ancient practices, thousands of years old, as well as some new ones that enable you to actually feel your energy and connect with other people and move the energy through other people too.
Now for radio and on this podcast, let's think of the touch, because that's something that I think is quite easy to describe in one way. What sort of touch are you talking about?
Well, it goes back into being unified. So the first thing is we're really present with each other. and we're really present with our touch, just thinking about ourselves and each other and being sensitive to each other, communicating what kind of touch we want is really big. Like, for a long time, I wouldn't let anybody touch my pussy because, yes, like, people weren't touching it right, and it would hurt if they touched it wrong, and I hated that part.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, get comfortable with, like, actually communicating with what was working and what wasn't working.
And before you couldn't communicate with previous partners about what touch felt good to your vagina and your clitoris?
Well, it was hard for me to tell them what felt good when I didn't know.
Okay.
So that's part of it. I'd say the bigger part is being really present and breathing. Like, breathing is really the essence of life, and it's really the primary technique that we use to move the energy from our genitals and up our spine so that we can really feel the energy move through our whole bodies. And when you can start to open your chakras or you can open up and feel the energy moving through your body, then you're able to move it and transfer it to others. It's a process. It's practice, like anything else, like yoga or martial arts, that you, over time, it becomes more and more powerful.
But Scott, when you came across Melanie and realized that she hadn't had an orgasm before you, what sort of touch did you use on her then? Gentle stroking? I mean, what? Because I think people want to get to grips with how someone, because so much in this episode, I'm talking about women who don't experience orgasm.
Right.
So what kind of touch did you use? A lot of men are going to want to know this.
I can't say a touch by itself will do it. In fact, I mean, what I was doing was sending her an orgasm initially, that's without touch. I mean, like, it's more about using your energy. What I'd recommend for people is to pleasure yourself and learn how your own body works. Like, I think that's a mistake some people make, is they expect their lover to turn them on. But yes, I think the first step is through masturbation or through self-exploration. We need to understand our own bodies, because there's nothing I can do to someone who's not already open and doesn't understand the energy. Melanie was just one of a few that was naturally tantric, so she could feel energy, but no one had ever moved energy through her in the way that I did. And it was when you match energy, it also opens up your feelings and emotions and your juiciness. And also sound is a big part of it too. It's like the biggest way for most people to double the length and intensity of the orgasm immediately is to vocalize during lovemaking.
So vocalize, so like sighs and moans, or is
yes.
It?
Yes. Making sound with every exhalation. So just letting sighs, moans, screams, whatever it is that comes out, making sound every time you breathe really helps to open things up, really helps to relax, really helps to sync up with me and my partner. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things, is really breath. I like all kinds of touch. So like touch wasn't the answer. I liked all kinds of touch. It was learning to relax.
Yes.
And relax through breathing and being present with each other.
Yeah.
And being open to noticing what I'm feeling and being open to communicating that, and having a partner who's receptive to that communication and is willing and happy and excited to follow my instructions and my requests.
Yes.
To bring me more pleasure and to stick with it.
And what sort of instructions?
Really, the most important.
What sort of instructions and requests are you talking about?
So things like softer, harder, faster, slower.
Yeah.
Really basic things.
Or she just moaned, or, you know, that would give me a clue that she was liking what was working. A lot of people are taught, most of us are taught, to kind of repress ourselves. And when
yes.
we shut down, I mean, even as little kids, you know, we're like, don't make too much sounds. And then when we learn about sex, most of us are like, you know, doing it in high school or whatever, behind closed doors. Or
very quietly.
Around,
you're yeah.
masturbating quietly. And so all that shuts down our self-expression and our energy. So by vocalizing, it actually opens up a channel of energy in our body. And it also psychologically frees us up to allow ourselves to really feel and express. I mean, it seems awkward at the beginning if you aren't used to it. But like any other practice, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And now I make so much noise, I feel I have to scream or else I'll like explode because of the energy. So, and I'm the loudest person I know. So men can be just as loud as women.
Yeah. And the other thing that shuts down people's orgasms, especially women, but both of us, is shame. And
yes.
when we're shameful, we're quiet and we feel like we don't deserve the pleasure and we don't
yeah.
deserve to be heard. We don't deserve to speak up with what we want.
Yeah.
So learning how, doing processes, like coming to Tantra classes to release that shame and whatnot, really helps to open up into feeling like we deserve the pleasure. We get to make sound. We get to have what we want. It's okay for us to take a long time, because what a lot of people just don't understand is for us women, we're like pots of water. We take a long time to boil.
Exactly.
And once you get us going, we're going.
And also things like oral sex. Now 20% of couples in the UK actually use oral sex to bring a woman to climax because penetrative sex has not worked for her. Maybe, you know, penetrative sex would work better if they were practicing, as you say, sensing your needs, communicating with your partner, those, all those good things. But do you think that, you know, for people should say, yeah, oral pleasure works for me, so I need you to go down on me, you know, that kind of thing?
Oh my God. Almost all women like oral pleasure. Oral pleasure works for almost all women.
Yes.
So if you haven't tried it, you definitely should. Also, and along those lines, there's this lovely guidelines I have.
Okay.
The 30-30-30 rule.
Okay.
So first of all, you want to pleasure your partner, touch them, caress them, touch them in whatever way it is that they like, on the rest of their body, on their whole body. Worship your partner's whole body, especially yes. for us women. Because we want to know that you love us and like us, like our whole bodies.
And that's from your earlobes.
You're only wanting just our pussies.
From your earlobes to your toes.
Exactly. And like, we've got so many erogenous zones throughout our whole bodies. And activating those first before you even go to the genitals is like, so important. It's so
that's
juicy
right.
and
I mean,
so good.
Like, I mean, I'm happy to say my knees are so sensitive, and just having them sensually caressed just drives me crazy. Just my knees, you know? So I think it's so key what you're saying about discover the other pleasure zones to really help your partner, especially as we've been talking about women who have difficulty climaxing. You know, you never know what part of her just is so sensitive. You know, a lot of women tell me just the nipples. I mean, that they can pretty much climax if he stimulates their nipples enough.
Oh yeah, like I love my boobies massaged. I will take it for as long as someone will give it.
Yeah.
I also love my back caressed and scratched. Like I orgasm like crazy from my back being scratched.
Yes.
And like during sex, keeping that touch up, like whenever he scratches my back during sex, it's like, ah!
That's incredible. And Scott, how about you? I was going to say, does Scott have any specific pleasure zones that seem more unusual?
My brain is my biggest
yes,
sexual organ.
You know? That is true.
I like creativity and newness. And again, when I've been doing this for 22 years or so. And after you do this for a while and you actually do the work to clear your shame and your trauma and your guilt and your fear, all that out of your system, and you can start really being present and feeling what's going on in real time, best orgasms haven't involved touch at all, because I've almost transcended that, if that makes sense. You know, like one of the beginning things you do as a guy is you separate ejaculation from orgasm. And that's one of the cool things you can do with Tantra, which enables men to have multiple orgasms and even go into an extended orgasmic state.
That's going to be another episode. I want to thank you two so much for joining me,
okay.
Both of you. I found this such a pleasure speaking to you. That's Scott and Melanie McClure, and you can find them at ecstatichearts.com. Now, let's remember that the key things, you know, we've talked a lot about, and what Anthony Costa had to say about living apart when you're working and keeping connected and just caring for each other and laughing when your little ones have taken away all this sort of everything from your life and you're exhausted, but one of them starts singing the Hokey Cokey and you laugh at midnight together. And remember, as a woman, just discover what works for you. Until the next episode, please look after yourself. And on the next episode, I will be getting up close and very personal with another celebrity.
If you have a dating disaster or an awkward issue you'd like Dr. Pam's advice on, visit drpam.co.uk. Drop her a line via the contact page. That's drpam.co.uk.